You know, some people are naturally like that. Others, it's because you're around it so much. And look, man, it is not unusual for me to do 2 to 3 funerals a month. So yeah. When you do 2 to 3 funerals a month, you for lack of a better term, you kind of get used to it. And it's, you know, at the same time, there are ones that really hit.
Yeah. And whether it's because you've been around it a lot more or you're naturally that way or what, I think that that's something that I thought about a little bit. And I'll probably cut this out of the show, but like this... Just because I started recording doesn't mean it's going to be there. Yeah.
So. Grieving is an individual sport, if you will.
I like that.
But it is an individual task that we all go through, and we all grieve different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was younger, I grieved a certain way to where now, okay, now it's I just need to go and get alone.
Yeah.
And just sit there for a while and I'll be all right.
Yeah.
It just depends on, again, the situation and everything else.
Yeah. One of the really cool things I enjoy about our conversations is there's a lot of times that I'll hear you say something and I'll think, totally. Well, last night when you texted me, was it last night or this morning? They're all running together. I can't remember. I think it was last night. And your response back, so when I got out of basketball yesterday, I left my phone in the car, and when I got out, I had a bunch of text messages from people. They had seen the Facebook post, and they're sending. And I appreciate all that. I'm not saying that,
you know, everybody's.
I had 8 or 10 text messages, you know, thinking about you, praying for you, all this kind of stuff.
Hey, there's folks who like you and love you.
Yeah, and I appreciate the heck out of that. And as I'm replying, though, you are saying the same thing over and over again. It's not copy and pasting, but there's only so many things you can say. It's the same. So then when I texted you and you replied back, sorry for your loss, but it's hard to be sorry for her gain or her gain.
That's right.
I thought, man, I should have texted him first because that was the much better way of saying what I've been saying.
You know, when you go through funeral processions and you go through like visitations,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there's always that awkward. I love that some of the families now are doing it where they're spread out.
Yeah.
I can go talk to the people I know,
mm-hmm.
not the sister I never met,
yeah.
and I don't know who you are. And then Lord have mercy, if you get stuck in front of them, it's like, I'm Ben, and this is my wife, Renee, and you try to make conversation. For some of us, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
For my wife, that would be the ultimate torture is, okay, I've got to sit here and try to make conversation with somebody. They're already grieving.
Yeah.
And it puts both in a bad spot. Well, I try my best to come up with different things, and that's my favorite is, look, I'm sorry for your loss, but her gain, I do not apologize for. She is, when I know they're saved, they've gained it all, man.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Well, that was our whole, like, honestly, I even in our immediate family, me and my mom and her sister and brother and my other cousins, we all felt that way the whole time. Like, we were almost, I mean, in the last few hours, we were almost, I mean, I heard mom and either mom or her sister or both, I heard people laying over her saying, it's okay,
go.
Like, you hate to say, hurry up and die. No, that's not what you mean, but it's okay. You can, you know.
And it's one of those things that when you stop and think about it, there's a couple ways that we always look at. I always do funerals, and I say this all the time. We look at funeral the wrong way, and I think we need to look at it from God's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
A death is not a period; it's a comma
mm-hmm.
for a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Death is not the end; it's the beginning of eternal life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And, you know, it is one of those things that my favorite saying at a funeral, and I don't think I've missed a funeral saying this, except maybe one was at a graveside, and I must have just forgotten it. But it's this one. You've heard me say it. We are not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying. We're going to the land of the living.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get a perspective of...
I don't know if I have heard you say
that. And then so when you have a 90-year-old grandma or 85, 90, I don't know how old she was, but when you have somebody like that that's suffering and really, you know, it's pitiful. It breaks your heart watching mm-hmm. her gasp for breath and watching her struggle. Man, it is... All right, she's going home.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's going home, it's for eternity, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is, she had 70, 90, 80 years, however long she had on this earth. That seems like a long time. But compared to 10,000, man, and then think about where she's going. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. She's in the presence of Christ. I don't mean to be ugly. I'm jealous. I got to stick around here for another 25, 50, 80 years, however long the Lord's going to give me. But at the same time, until he calls me home, I'm going to enjoy every minute and make the most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Other 167, Jared and Ben. And as you've probably gathered from our intro conversation here, it's been a long 167 for me. My grandmother passed away yesterday. I'm not gonna watch the clock, but the 24-hour mark will happen during this show at some time. It was about right at this time yesterday she passed. So that's sort of the backstory to it. Before we get into that, because I have most of this is on that. So but I do have one more I want to get into before we put a pin on into self-righteousness for just a minute. I'm sure we'll get back to it. But I've got a good one from this morning I just can't forget to share.
Right.
So we're getting ready to, I'm getting ready this morning to come over here, and Gabe yells up the stairs. Don't worry, I'll get myself into this in a minute. But Gabe yells up the stairs, "Dad, Reese didn't throw her trash away." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well," and it's so cool, the more you learn the Bible is full of trump cards to just end conversations really
It does
quickly.
Help with parenting
it
sometimes.
It really does. And this was so cool. I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what." I said, "Look around. Is there anything down there that you see that is yours that you haven't put away? Any right. toys or any, you know, shirts or bottles of water, anything like that?"
Not a point, Dad.
Yeah. And you have to understand how rhetorical that question is, knowing Gabe and knowing Reese.
Yeah.
Reese never has anything out of place. Gabe always does. So when I asked that question, he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I tell you what," and I didn't say it exactly this way. I said, "All right, I tell you what, once you get all that stuff put away," I didn't tell him you had to do it right then. I said, "When you have everything where you need it, let me know and I'll come talk to her about it."
Yeah.
And then he didn't say anything, and I said, "Did you hear me?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
That's John 8:7. So, but
it's great.
But I go downstairs a few minutes later, and I see what he's talking about. It's a graham cracker box. She's eating graham crackers on the couch, and when she gets done with it, the box that's left, she just tossed it in the floor.
Oh boy!
And she's not gotten up since then. She's sitting there on her iPad watching something or talking to a friend, and I look at it and I'm like, okay, well, look, yeah, that's not, I mean, I get his perspective, but I'm dad. He don't have any right to say anything because he's,
right.
But I'm dad, and I'm about to say something. And it's about the time I started to say, "Reese," God said, "Well, take a look around here. Do you see anything you need to put away that's maybe a little bit out of place?" And I said, point taken.
Don't you hate that. Don't you hate that.
So I believe when I get out of here, we're going to go do some cleaning
together. Everybody's clean. I'd never forget, I had a dear, dear friend, African-American friend in Fayetteville, and when I worked in Fayetteville. And he took me to a church time or two, because we just talked about the Lord. He invited me, and he said, "Now listen, I got a special tonight. He's singing." And that's why I went. And he sung a song called "Clean Up Your Mess Up." And I was like, I need to have that song and just play it all the time at the house, and for myself and for everybody else.
Yeah.
But clean it. And basically it was, hey, when you mess up, Go apologize, make it right with folks.
Yeah.
Great song, but clean up your mess up.
Yeah,
so there you go. You can play that for this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cleaning up our mess ups, never mind. You know that.
What a segue.
So Sunday service was really, I want to tie that, but getting back to Grandma.
Woo, and that was a sermon and a half, man. I enjoyed that.
Well, I want to tell you, the sermon itself was terrific, and I'll go back and at some point listen to more of that, but honestly, the sermon itself, considering the state, that was right in the heart of finding out what was going on with Grandma. It was about a day or so before she passed, but it was right about the time that it could be any time. And you've always said this, that you don't say it at every service, but a lot of times I've heard you say there's no accidents. God knows everybody was going to be here today.
Right, right. That's in our greeting. Yeah.
And you've said, even I think maybe even last week's show, there's some weeks, hey, weather's bad and there ain't that many people here, but you try to remember – God's got a message for everybody. Well, there's an example of this from this week. It's very subtle, but I want to set the story a little bit. So Sunday morning, we've kind of figured out Grandma's towards the end. People are coming in. And I just had this sense of, like, you know, this is going to be a battle. I need to get in my, you know, I need to get ready for this.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been, it's 10:45 and we're sitting there in the room and I'm trying to watch the service on my phone, and people start to show up and they're coming in and out of the room, and I just couldn't listen. So I just kind of said, "We'll put this away for a minute and I'll get back to it. It's live stream. I can watch it later." Well, we finally, about, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, got to a point where I could tell I've probably got an hour that I can get away now. So I went and just kind of told Mama, I said, "I'm going to step out and go for a walk." And Mama knows what that means. Like, she understands going for a walk don't mean I need exercise, right? So I got my phone and I kind of got off somewhere. Well, when you talk about no accents, it's funny to me, and I even told her this later, when we do the show and people give me feedback on the show, it's so funny. Some of the things that people tell me that meant a lot to them were afterthoughts to me. I didn't think anything about it, right?
That's right.
But there are no accidents.
That's
and,
right.
And whatever you said, it speaks to people differently. And I seriously doubt that you thought anything about these words when they came out of your mouth.
Okay? No.
But they spoke so much to me at that time.
Well, thank the Lord.
So when you were doing your opening prayer,
right,
whatever that's
right.
called. I don't know. There's the benediction. I don't know what that one's called.
This is before I even start to preach or after I've introduced it, and then we pray.
So you walk in to start with, and you say, welcome to Few Quim.
Yeah, it's Sunday morning.
Yep, you know Sunday what that morning. Means. That's right. I like that one. Yeah, that's a cool one. You didn't say that this week.
Nobody knows where that comes from. I have to share it one time. Okay. Maybe I can share it on podcast with our two guys in Ireland.
Okay.
Shout out. But everybody knows I'm a pro wrestling fan. And there is a Jim Ross used to come on when he has the show. It's Monday night. You know what that means. Or it's Wednesday night. So I said, you know what? That's a great line. It's Sunday morning.
That.
You know what that means. Only about 5 people know that. Now 25.
And,
but yeah, so when you hear that, just think, oh yeah, that's his throwback to pro wrestling.
All right. I love it. So this is probably about 15 minutes into church. So we've sang a song, and then you come up.
That would be the welcoming.
Welcome
prayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the welcoming prayer, there was a point in there, and there was a pause in the middle of this. It's one of those things where it's like you were trying to gather your words up. It was just interesting to me because what you said next was the sentence that spoke to me the most. But the entirety of this, you said, help us to shut off all the distractions and all of the distractions and all of the upcoming duties we have to take care of.
Yeah, I remember thinking, where did that word come from? Duties we have to take care of.
Duties. Well, that's where it came from. I appreciate it because that's exactly what it was. Because when you said that, I thought, that's me right now. That's I've got a big,
of responsibilities coming.
A lot of stuff coming up here, and that's exactly what I need to do right now is to shut all that out and focus on the Lord for this hour.
Well, thank you, because I did. As soon as I said, it, I said, "What in the world?" Because I did. I remember thinking, I don't know where that came from, but I'm thinking, hey, that's God. And I thank God that, because, hey, that's my prayer a lot of times is, I think about all the things I did this past week. And more than usually, though, for me, it's, okay, what have I got to get done tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
What have I got to get done? You know, this week I got a big meeting with X or, and if you're not careful, you can come in with your mind all on that and miss the main attraction.
Well, it spoke enough to me. I'll put it this way. I was walking. It wasn't much of a walk. It was mainly how far do I have to walk to get away from people.
Yeah, just get outside.
But it was when you said that, I literally just kind of paused where I was at and I just sat down.
Yeah.
And just sat.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
And
that's the Lord.
And then also beyond that, so then the songs that we played there, forget the exact title, but it was, I've got it downloaded on my phone. I just don't have it memorized, but the God of Angel Armies was the first one that they sang.
Oh man. Yeah. And I dig that song.
That was a really cool one for that particular moment for me.
The God who goes before me.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the lines. Those
you
songs,
hold the whole world in
song.
Your hand. Yeah. Nothing against me will stand. I mean, it was such a. Yeah. If you're getting ready to go into a battle, it's like a war cry, and I'm getting ready.
That's what it sounds like.
And then it's just like a little. I don't know. This was just God being a smart aleck, almost. Just like a hey, yeah. Just in case you're wondering, my favorite song of all time, and my favorite song of faith that you hear in church has always been Amazing Grace. I love it. And then they played that one next.
We had
and it
a
was
good
just,
time Sunday now. I was down there on the front ready to roll.
Yeah. So honestly, like after all of that happened before the sermon, by the time the sermon was on, that was on self-righteousness, which we've been talking a lot about.
Right.
And I didn't really care about self-righteousness in that moment, right? Like I'm thinking about this stuff. So, but it was such a great, just a really well-timed, and it was, I'm sure nobody thought anything about me and my situation or anything like that when y'all were putting this thing together. But God was very particular about what you guys used.
And that's good. And that's so neat. And I think that goes back to, that's his Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that he knows. And again, whether it's a word that was used, whether it was something, a song that was chosen. And like I said, those songs are chosen. You know, sometimes we're putting services together a couple weeks because we got on specials or we want this. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's just the sovereignty of God to know. And I think it goes back to, and I think this is, it goes to you, but it also, it's a word of wisdom for anyone that wants to listen, is being in tune. God will send you those messages. You just got to be in tune to hear them. And it may not be a certain song. It may not be, but there are times when God, especially in a time like this, a time of loss, that's when you'll see God just, whether it's a little small thing, it might be a nurse that was at the hospital, or somebody just does one particular thing, and you know, God, that's you, that's your presence, that's you saying, hey, you promised you were going to be with me, and there you are. That you promised, when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil. There you are.
Yeah. Well, and another thing that was really interesting to me about that, there have been times on the show that I've said something that I thought, I didn't want to say that. Why did I say that? And there's been times that, you know, in your life that God will tell you to do. You talk about the overpass story
that time. Yeah, the overpass story.
There's a lot of times that God will tell us to do something and we'll do it and we'll never see an impact from it or an effect of it. So we think it was for nothing. Well, no, it's not that it's for nothing. It's that not every single thing God tells you to do is for your benefit. In fact, a lot of them probably aren't for your benefit.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe that's the whole thing. The Lord's really been showing me a whole lot of, hey, you're not the star of my show.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And we tend to think we are, and we tend to think, okay, so this is my benefit. Even the word, like I talked about 2 weeks ago, even the word spiritual gifts. Oh, it's a gift given to me. It's for me. It ain't for you, Jack. It's for others. And it's to point others to Christ. And so even these gifts that God's gives you, it isn't for you to enjoy and hoard.
Yeah.
Just like your gifts, anything else, your blessings, they're not for you to hoard. They're for you to bless others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing how I believe God is doing a good work of helping us to see that, hey, I'm not the star of the show.
Yeah. And it's cool that once in a while, I mean, you got to find out why God told you to say duties that we have to take care of, because I told you that. A lot of times that's not going to happen. The person that you touched by that one little thing isn't going to tell you.
That's right.
Not for a myriad of reasons. They may never see you again, too. It may be somebody in Ireland that we don't talk to. That's, you know, it could be that. Yeah, shout out. Appreciate you. Appreciate you for taking us international.
That's right.
But it could be that. It could be that, you know, next time I see you, don't cross my mind to tell you that. It could be that we... There's a whole lot of reasons you may not find out what that little thing was. But again, who cares? It wasn't for, it shouldn't be about your gratification for helping somebody.
And what amazes me is, again, how awesome is God, or how sovereign is he, and how, good night, omniscient. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even remember my name half the time, or I can't remember, you call me and, hey, what's so-and-so's phone number? I can't tell you what their phone number is.
Yeah.
But doggone, he knows, and all these things. I mean, we're going to get to heaven one day, and I believe we're going to see some of these little things that we did, we didn't even hardly pay attention to, that God said, you were obedient in that little thing, and lo and behold, look at what it did.
That's right.
Or it might be the opposite. Mm. Hey, all I asked you to do was this little simple thing, and you were disobedient, and it cost. And I think it's one of, you know, don't want to put too much pressure at the same time. Hey, that's where walking by faith comes in to say, all right, Lord, use me. And can't wait to see where I get used today.
And I'm glad you said that, because it gives me an opportunity to correct something that I really wanted to correct from last week. The parts of the show where I talked about God telling me to do something and me saying I really don't want to, and him saying, you're going to do it one way or the other, and... I made it kind of come across as if God's going to punish you for not doing what he said. It's not punishment. He knows what goes down that path if you don't do. If I can go path A or path B, and he's telling me to go path A, and I really want path B, it's not that he's going to punish me if I take path B. Mm-hmm. He sees that path B has a cliff at the end of it, and that I'm either going to have to go way out of my way to avoid it, or I'm going to fall over it.
Right.
So it's not punishment. It's just understanding that he knows as pretty as path B looks to you right now. It's not.
And sometimes he lets you go down path B. Mm-hmm. And then he
makes you go. Yeah. What you said about Jonah? You're going to Nineveh.
Yeah,
you're going to pay double fare.
That's right. and you're going to spend 3 nights in a stinky old well. You know, it's one of those. Sometimes he gives you what you want. Or he gives you just enough of it.
Yeah.
The old, I can't even remember if it's old wives' tale or what it is. Sometimes if you want a whole bunch of candy, I eat too much and I get sick. Mm-hmm. Sometimes God lets us have enough of our want and our desires to realize, dadgum, I don't know it.
Yeah.
And that's Proverbs 3:5-6. Lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah.
But trust in him and follow him and he'll guide your path.
Yeah. Well, in the middle of all that grief, I will say that, you know, the challenging times, the grief-stricken times, those hardest times, those are the times that God shows up the most, mm-hmm. and that's where you really get to see what he's capable of and what he can do. And I think that it brings out our worst, and it also probably demonstrates to me, this was one of my big takeaways from this entire process, is it really spotlighted to me a pronounced example of our need to cooperate and cut each other some slack and remember we're all in this together, okay? Because grief is hard. Grief is very hard for everybody. Yeah. Our hardest times probably are the times that our instincts kick in and our survival instincts kick in and we probably become the most selfish and we become the most self-centered. For example, if I like to be alone to grieve,
right.
And let's use my mom for example. Now, me and my mom is a terrible example because we both like to be alone to grieve. But if my mom were somebody who really needed somebody there for her that she could talk to during a grief-stricken time, that could she needed company always, right. And I need to be alone.
Right.
Okay, well, then it can be really easy for me to selfishly say, I understand mama needs support, but I need to get away from this and go find what I need. Well, there needs to be an understanding of, I'm looking around at this room full of people that are all grief-stricken over grandma, right? Mm-hmm. My uncle, my aunt, my mom, cousins, friends, everybody has a different thing that they're needing out of that situation. And we're not all going to get what we want, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. So there has to be some give and take there of, you know, okay, the NASCAR race last night. Daytona 500 was yesterday.
Yeah.
Daytona 500 not necessarily known for give and take. If you see a gap, you take it.
And not necessarily the most exciting race.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's a great race, big race,
yep. But when you're watch those cars, I mean, they don't get to the front by letting people in line.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
But it's the not letting people in line that causes the wrecks and stuff, too, and takes out the whole field. So you'll hear the drivers after they get wrecked say there needs to be more give and take. Well, how much were you giving of stuff
like
more?
Everybody,
all right,
they
need
to give.
Okay, well, and it's easy to say, well, I understand I'm supposed to give and take, but this is the Daytona 500, right?
Super Bowl.
And again, it's easy for me to walk out of here on Tuesday afternoon and say, I understand I need to be giving to other people. But yesterday when grandma's dying, I don't need to give right now because now's the time to take care of me. Well, the more everybody takes that mindset, the harder you make it on everybody else in that room that's grieving too. Because you need to give that other person what they need to get through it.
That's pretty tough because it is. I'm just sitting here trying to process that and thinking it through because oftentimes, most of the time when I'm in a situation just like you are, and I'm in there quite often because if I know someone's about to step over, about to go home, I usually try to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but now sometimes that's going to be 12 hours, 14, or they may say next 48 hours. Well, I'm not going to spend 48 hours there.
Yeah.
I'll go home, and then when I'll tell them, call me when, you know, it starts getting close, and I'll try to be there. And, you know, I'm trying to be that, what does this person need? What does that person need? Or better yet, all right, which one of these family members probably is closest to the deceased?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's your mom, it's your grandma, but this is that man's wife,
mm-hmm.
for 60 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
That one is the one probably needs. And so you almost kind of, for me, it is looking to see, okay, who is it that is really struggling? And it, look, if it's a teenager or something like that, all right, I'm going to try to help them out too.
Mm-hmm.
But I always try to look for who is it that looks like, man, they are just really struggling. And then go to them, or try to be with again, grieving in that setting. It's just you almost have to go by the spirit of, okay, Lord, who is it I need to really spend time with?
And I think when I want to be clear, because of our audience, such a large portion of our audience was in this room.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to make sure I'm highlighting that if I'm talking about a specific person in here, I will call it out.
Yeah.
I'm actually talking right now about just a high-level concept.
Yes.
That
no, yeah,
in that room, I'm looking around at everyone, and I did say to this kind of came from a lot of conversations where someone says, well, you know, so-and-so is going to do this, or this is how somebody, this is what this person needs, whatever. And I've kind of said, yeah, everybody grieves differently and everybody
right.
needs something differently. Everybody's not going to do it the way I do it or the way I would do it. And that's totally fine. It's completely fine. My uncle, I'll call him out. My uncle, he's not a particularly sensitive person.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
He's a good guy. Love you to death, Uncle Zeke, if you do
yeah,
listen to this. But
typical man.
But I think he's probably got a warm, chewy center, but it's way down in there. You know what I mean? Like and he's got about as much desire for you to see it as I.
Right.
There is no desire for you to see it, if there is one. But that doesn't mean he didn't love his mama, okay?
No.
Believe me. I've talked to him. We texted. I saw him at the hospital. I mean, I know he loved his mama. It wasn't
and
that.
He's there. And
but,
he's care- yeah.
But he's not interested in a deep emotional conversation about his mama.
No.
Okay?
That's not him.
Frankly, I relate to that really well because I'm an awful lot like him in those ways.
Right.
Okay?
I got you.
And at the same time, my mama just kind of wants to be alone with her thoughts. Hey, so do I. I get that too. Everybody has a different way of processing these things, and you're not wrong for being that way.
Mm.
If he were to try to be that emotional thing, it wouldn't go well, and it's not how he is.
That's not, yeah.
But it
it's
is not, super easy. And again, this isn't a situation that I'm calling out because I'm not saying anybody did this. But I have seen in other situations where when that family member's not there 24/7 around the clock and you think, well, they must not have loved them. No, that's just not how they grieve. And why don't you cut them some slack
that's
and understanding
right.
that?
It is not, yeah. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah. And also, I think that, again, one of the best ways to solve for your own grief process is to look for a way to help somebody else. Rather than thinking, what do I need? What do I need to get through this? Why don't you look around the room and say, how do they process grief? And what can I do to make it a little easier for them? How do they process it? And how do I help?
And you'll find out sometimes that is the way to get through. Is not focusing on yourself, because what can often happen in those grieving situations is you get so locked in on you that, man, you just become so inwardly focused. And if you're not careful, that can continue on, especially if it's something very, very tragic. And then, man, you basically shut off the world.
Yeah.
And I think what you're talking about, though, there is, as you were talking, I was reminded of a scripture, and this is probably one of my favorite scriptures of when we hurt. 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says this. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. All right. So if he's the Father of mercies and he's the God of all comfort in times of hurting, he's what we need. Now, listen, God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, when we go through these hurts and struggles, God comforts us, and then he expects us to comfort others with that same comfort. So you got it right. You nailed it. That's scriptural. And it's one of, you know, being more other-focused and helping them. At the same time, hey, we're all grieving too. And I think I've shared this. If I haven't, I'll share a time in my life that I had to really do some. I think the thing why it was grieving, but I didn't have time to grieve. When my father passed away, it was June the 6th, and I remember he passed away. I got a call from my brother. He said, "Hey," it's about 3-4 in the morning, and I knew when the phone rang. I knew he was getting close, kind of like your grandmother.
And yeah.
My brother said, "Hey, dad's gone. He's passed on." And I said, "I'll be over there in a minute. Let me get some clothes on." I got over to the house and got everything, you know, called the funeral home and tried to get everything cleaned up and everything. And I remember it was that he passed away like a Thursday. It was June the 6th. In the church, there were two other people that passed away almost the same weekend. So I had three funerals, one on Friday, one on Saturday, and then my dad's was Sunday. And, you know, when you're there and you're trying to do you want to do the best for that family because they're grieving. I didn't have time to really grieve. And I told folks, I said, no, I'm on adrenaline. And I was a 3-day rush of Friday, Saturday, Sunday funeral. I was adrenaline. And then I preached Sunday and then did his funeral that afternoon, did the graveside Monday. And I told folks, I said, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of town. And I did. I went up to Boone, basically spent, and I got somebody to preach the next Sunday because it was Father's Day. And I was like, I'm not preaching Father's Day and my dad. So I got somebody to fill in for me. But I just needed that time, just me, Renee, the kids, just let me be.
Yeah.
Because during that time, I had not even had the time for myself just to sit down.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, your mom and some your brothers probably right now or her brothers are probably going through trying to get all the pictures together and you got to do this. And the way we grieve in America sometimes or the way we do funerals, man, you're putting the family through a whole lot of, got to run a suit here, got to go get these pictures, got to go look at these flowers. Oh, and it's all got to be done in about a 2 or 3 day period. Man, give me a break.
You know what? Let's talk about that then. Because let me tell you what Mama's doing right now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what my mama's sister's doing right now. And let me tell you what my mama's brother's doing right now. They're doing the same thing that I just finished doing. They're sleeping.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing.
When they're dog
tired. Because we're not doing a service anytime soon. We're not sure if we're doing a service at all.
Yeah.
That's not the way our family... Now, listen. That's not very popular. People are saying, when's the funeral? We don't know if we're doing one.
Right.
Because that's not how we grieve. Right. And if you don't like that, we're sorry, but we've had our closure, right? Like everybody, we need closure. Well, we had ours. We were there at the bedside. We've done ours. We've had 6 months to know this was coming. I think I might try to talk them in. Actually, you know, let's do this in bulk. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. Let's do a cookout this weekend because y'all will hear this. So this will save me a text. I'm going to send one group text out and just say, listen to the episode here, okay? I think we should do a cookout or something with us. And just kind of, you know, we don't even have to talk about Mom Colleen. We can get together and know that it's in her honor. But
right.
We don't have to do that.
Well, you can share stories if you want. You can just, hey, let's talk.
But honestly, if we don't do anything, if they decide they don't want to do it, fine. That's fine. Yeah. We've got our closure.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody, a lot of times, they make things harder on themselves because we have to do this, we have to do that. Why? Because everybody thinks we have to do it. Why?
Yeah.
Who cares?
That's right.
We make things harder ourselves by trying to fit what somebody else thinks we ought to do. Right.
And like I said, I mean, I have seen families just, and to me, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes when you go to a visitation and you got line and the line is out the wazoo and you're waiting and you don't know the person. They're there to talk to your brother down the down the line. They don't know you from Adam's house cat.
Yep.
Man, that is so hard. Or vice versa. I always feel sorry for my brothers because I've got a lot of folks that know me or, hey, whether it's ministry or done thing. And so a funeral like that, and they, you know Ben. And not bragging. It's just it's just so hard for folks that – I agree. I don't think there's a problem with what you're saying.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we decide to do a service of some kind or a cookout of some kind, that's fine. I don't think we're going to do a service unless we have a huge change of heart. But the funeral, I was talking to somebody about this morning. Whatever you call this, I mean, I think where you are in the country and what your religion is may call this different things. But the process of getting people together. Putting the body in a casket, opening it up so that people can see the body one last time and go shake the closest family member's hands.
Visitation,
maybe wake might be another thing.
Maybe wake, depending on who you are.
Depending on who you are. But here's the thing. I don't mean this to be judgmental, but I guess it is. That's the dumbest sounding idea in the world to me. Okay? Why are we going to do that? First of all, that body, that ain't the way I remember seeing the body. Second of all these people that are coming to see me, I don't really know them that well most of the time.
Sometimes,
And then, third of all, I'm in a pretty vulnerable state. To have to see a bunch of people that I don't particularly know that well in that vulnerable state and watch them, and them try to come up with that thing that's going to make you feel better when there is nothing that's going to make you feel better. It's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
To those of you who do that, I'm sorry.
And I'll play devil's advocate. It does have its place.
Sure.
I think there are times, though, when I agree with you that, and for the fact, I think each family has to make up your mind on that. Because, hey, look, I was at one the other day that guy was 50, 55, 59 years old, somewhere in that range. All right, so there's a lot of people that know him.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've also been to one where the lady was 98 years old. She's outlived all her friends.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no friends. Yeah. But it was a large family. People wanted to come say, but it is. It's so stressful, so taxing that I tend to agree. And it almost becomes one of those things of, I like the idea of the family. We're going to get together. We're just going to have. And look. I've been to those
mm-hmm.
where they called me and said, listen, we're not doing a service. We're going to do a cookout. Would you come? Mm-hmm. Would you pray? Would you read some scripture? Would you say something?
Mm-hmm.
I will. Yep. And I feel honored to, you know, just to offer some words of comfort to talk about, hey, that guy or that gal, she lived it.
Yeah.
You know, now again, I tend to think the visitation, wake, whatever, yeah, that can be kind of taxing. I do like a service, especially, man, if it's somebody that, I mean, really lived for the Lord, let's celebrate.
Yeah. And again, it's I almost went overboard for effect there by saying that's a dumb thing. But look, yeah, I do. Again, I said earlier, to each their own. If that's what you want to do. Here's the thing with that. I'll quote this.
Our sponsor is not Thomas.
So here's the thing.
Not brought to you.
I'm almost positive that this is the exact thing we were talking about when my mom said, my mom or my aunt, well, I think it was my mom, he said, hey, look, if you, I'm quoting something from a few shows back, she said, if you want to do a visitation, then havest thou at it. Yeah, but we aren't doing it. So, I think that's for us, that's not how we're going to do it. But again, if that is how you want to do it, then I don't think that's wrong. I just don't think that you should force yourself to grieve the way everybody else said. To play devil's advocate again on that, if you are a family who feels like that's what you need to do, then don't listen to what I'm saying, right? Because there is a reason to do that.
I think it goes back to, look, to each his own.
To each their own.
And when it comes time for grieving, hey, don't judge a family just because they don't do it the way you do it.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, though, because you touched on something at the very beginning of the show, really, that my mom has said a lot, and it's some of the most comforting, and also, I'll be honest, it's just a really hard thing for me to even wrap my head around, but it's so cool, and I want to wrap my head around it, and she said this after my grandpa died a long time ago, and she said it again this weekend. She said, after my grandpa died, she said, it's so weird for me to think about the fact that he's with Jesus. He has met Jesus. He is there. And she said it again over the weekend before my grandmother passed. She said, it's so hard for me to think about this person that I'm so close with, that I've been so close with my entire life. It's not something you've read in a book here. This is somebody that I am really close with. Who's about to meet Jesus.
This isn't Daniel from the Old Testament.
Right. And the closest thing I think of is like, you know, a celebrity or the President of the United States or something. Somebody you see, you know somebody who's going to meet somebody like that. And it's like, man, that's really cool.
Yeah.
This is the introduction, though. This is the coolest thing ever. Yeah. And my mom is about to do it. How cool is that? And to now look back, at, you know, a day later and say, my grandma, the same one that...
beat my backside when I was a little boy.
She did that.
Yeah.
Also the same one that... I was thinking about this is a cool story. My grandma took me to the beach when I was probably, when was this? This would have been, probably I was about 10 years old, 9, 10 years old, something like that. And we drove back by the Rockingham Racetrack. I was a huge race fan when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And she drove by the Rockingham Racetrack and we went up in the stands and I got to see the racetrack and all this kind of stuff. It was so cool. It occurred to me this week, they don't open racetracks up in January on a Monday. I think she broke in. I really do think she broke us in.
Yeah, you wonder how that happened.
Yeah, but the same person that you have all these great memories with is with Jesus right now. Holy crap, that is the coolest thing. Let me change that to holy cow, maybe. Yeah, but wow, right. that's so cool to think about.
I think there are times when words fail us.
Yeah.
And I think it is one of when you stop and think about it. And I always struggle when I hear people at funerals want to talk about streets of gold and everything like that. And I'm like, man, I could care less about a street of gold. I am face to face with the one who loved me and gave himself up for me. And we have a saying in the scriptures, Paul talks about this. He says, and your faith shall become sight.
Yeah.
So all this stuff that I have learned from Sunday school when I was itty bitty, from a baby, all the things that, whether it was my mom or someone else, told me about Jesus walking on water, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, and that one who was in the middle, that fourth one. Lord, all those things that we've heard, all that stuff that we've believed, it's now sight. And so, yeah, the one that I have no idea what he looks like. Mm-hmm. I do know that he's probably not blonde-haired and blue-eyed. I mean, it cracks me up when I see some of these movies. It's like, that is not, he is not paler than, you know, it just kills me. And so more than likely, he's dark-skinned, I mean, just like a Jewish man. And I'm good with that, so I can't wait to see him face to face. And you know, the thing of it is as much as I'm talking about, it ain't gonna matter. All I'm gonna see is the glory and just that shine, that Shekinah glory. Man, I tell this to folks sometimes, and I'll never forget, there was a dear sweet lady, her name was Miss Flossie, which that ought to tell you. Miss Flossie was, I think she was in her high 90s when I knew she, and we knew she was going home. And I went to go see her in the hospital, and I knew this would probably be the last time that I see her. And she just looked at me and she said, "I am so ready to go." Mm-hmm. She said, "This is what she said." She said, "Ben, don't take this the wrong way. She was asleep. She woke up. She said, I'm disappointed to see you." I just grinned at her because I thought to myself, "All right, I can't wait to hear how you answer that." She said, "Because I was wanting to wake up and see the one I've been wanting to see." And I just thought to myself, and I told her when I left, I said, "I am so envious of you." Mm-hmm. I said, "You're getting to see what I've been preaching about, what I've been talking about, what I've been longing for. You get to see it before I do." At the same time, hey, I'm not in a hurry, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to that day. So I think it goes back to, again, when you think about what death is, it's not like I want to do it. It's not like I want any of my loved ones to do it today. At the same time, when we look at it from God's perspective, it's totally different. I will say this. Psalms 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." It's an odd verse. Mm-hmm. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So when his children go home, it is precious to the Lord. It ain't precious to me, maybe, because I'm going to miss my grandmother or my brother or my fill in the blank. But to God, it's precious. Now, why would that be? Well, if you've ever had a kid go off to college, and when they come home, there is nothing better. And so when Daniel comes home at Thanksgiving and Christmas and comes home for vacation in the summer, I'm counting down the days. I'm pure giddy. Mm-hmm. I'm pure giddy because it's like, I get to see my boy, not on a screen in FaceTime, not on a phone call. I get to, as I always tell him, as soon as I see him, I say, "Boy, it's just good to lay my eyes on you." And just, I get to touch him, hold him, and hug him. And you stop and you think about that. So for the dad, one of the greatest things, that kid coming home, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it is a child of God going home. And here's the thing. End of the week, vacation's over, Daniel gets on a plane, goes back to Wisconsin or wherever he's in school, and you're thinking, when am I going to see him again? Now, when you go home for eternity, you're there for eternity. And man, I'm sorry, there ain't nothing better than that. And I can rejoice in that. At the same time, yeah, as Paul talks about in Thessalonians, we grieve, but we do not grieve without hope. We have a hope that is real. And even though we cry and our hearts are breaking, no, we've got a hope. And that hope holds us up during this time.
Well, and I want to maybe close, I guess. We got about 15 minutes, I guess, left. And I don't think it'll take the entire time, but we'll find some other stuff to talk about too. But there's a young child right now, about Gabe's age, who's having a real, who's fighting some really tough medical.
Yeah, is this at Hilltop?
Yep.
Okay, I've seen pictures.
Yeah. So, ironically, I suppose, or not, I don't know, but I wasn't in the room my grandmother passed yesterday because I'd stepped out to have I had a short call with Heather. And about as we were sort of wrapping up, she told me this story, and it's heartbreaking. And I cannot even think of it. I'm praying so hard for, I've honestly prayed more for that girl than I have my family the last couple of days. That's one that I can't quite be cool with if if she passes. That being said, the only thing that I can find any comfort in that is that I don't care what I said to you on Thursday. We need to find the common ground. That's our starting point, right?
Right.
What are the things we can all agree on? No matter what you believe in, you can agree at least one thing.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We can agree on one thing. This place ain't a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. This world is full of pain. It's full of a lot of.
It's a fallen, sorry world.
So I was telling my cousin maybe somebody was texting me. I said, you know what? I said, my grandma's in a much better place now. From where my grandma was in life, I mean, she had deteriorated to a point. Her life was not much at the end. I mean, she didn't know who she was.
You're ready for her to go home.
We were ready for her to go home. So the gap from where she was to heaven is bigger than maybe for some people.
Right. But when you've lived 85, 90 years on the earth and it's been a good year and you look around the room, you got three children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that's a blessed life.
Yeah. But for someone, I mean, I will tell you, I can do this today after my grandma died.
Yeah.
If Gabe Breeze or Christian go tomorrow, we won't be doing a podcast today after that.
I wouldn't want us to, and we wouldn't. I can assure you that.
That being said, though, the only thing that I can say in this clearer state of mind, I'm not in that state of mind right now, but if I hope that if it were to ever happen that I could remember this. I hope and pray so hard it never does. But it would stink for me, but they just got a shortcut to heaven. Yeah. They get to go straight there without having to deal with all this mess. This world is not good, and it's not getting better. David Jeremiah was in his the study we do on Thursday mornings. There's a part in there where he talks about unborn children that he believes are in that you'll see in heaven. You'll see them as they are, by his theory, 30 years old. How cool would that be? But for them, I'm really jealous of them. You mean you got to go there without having to do any of this?
And I think it's one of, I've said it all the time, parents should never have to bury a child.
Sure.
Man, that's heartbreaking to me. And I've done funerals. I've been in it and been involved with it personally. And it's just not one of my own, but
a
niece. But it is one of the most difficult places to be in. And, the thing of it is when you're in that, and I think this is a word for all of us, and I have to remind myself of this, is when we're in the midst of the hurt and the pain, sometimes that just saying that word, it isn't going to provide the same comfort that 6 months down the road will, or maybe 6 months before that, that we hear somebody say, hey, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, to, that we know we'll see them again. I get that, but at the same time, I want to see them now.
Yeah.
And I've been there and had some parents that, and I think it's one of going back to the grieving question and going back to some of the things we do. Paul says in Romans, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I think sometimes it is perfectly okay to sit with folks that may be grieving and not say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit and cry with them.
Yeah.
And Jesus did that when Lazarus died. If you go and look, Mary and Martha are the two sisters of Jesus. One, he provided a theological lesson to. They both said the same thing. They both came to him and said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus gives one sister, he says, I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he perish, will he live. Mm-hmm. Do you believe this? She says, yes. All right, so that helped comfort her. Another one is basically the other sister, Mary, comes to Jesus. Jesus, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And she just breaks down. And the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. Now, some people say he cried because of the unbelief of the people. I think it's several things going on. I think really he saw the hurt and he saw what a hurting world this is. And it broke his heart. At the same time, I believe there was some unbelief by the people. But sometimes our grieving, when we help others grieve, it needs to be a theological lesson at times. And at other times, it just needs to be, let's just sit and cry. Mm-hmm. And I'm right here. I'm going to cry with you. I don't know. I've said that to several widows. I don't know what to say to you, so I'm just going to sit and cry with you.
Well, I said in one of my prayers probably earlier in the weekend, as we were just kind of, maybe the family was starting to show up and stuff, and I think I just probably asked in a prayer, God, give me the words to comfort. I don't know exactly how I said it exactly, but he helped me to know what to say to provide comfort, yeah. And he just kind of reminded me of the title of one of our shows the other day, use words if you have to,
yeah.
But that's it. Actions mean more.
It's words and wisdom, and sometimes wisdom is just... Hey, sometimes it's just putting a hand on hand on their shoulder. Sometimes it's going and getting somebody a cake,
yeah.
A piece of cake,
yeah.
Or going in and seeing that, hey, you know what? They could use some water. Go get a glass.
Well, so this was the line that I said I'll go here in a minute, and it may be, but this is a good place to put this in. I watched a, I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you're familiar with Duck Dynasty and the Robertsons.
Yeah, those guys.
So in all of this sitting around the hospital with a lot of time on my hands, I found a sermon, actually, from Jace Robertson.
Yeah,
Robertson,
oh, talking. Yeah, he preached.
I tell you what, I want to share it to you, with you. I'd like for you to watch it. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious, because I watched this and I thought, if ever there was a sermon that kind of summarizes what we're trying to do on the Weather 167, it's this one. He shows up in a camouflage hat and T-shirt to a church,
yeah.
And it's the coolest thing. But there was something in there. He said, forgiveness is contagious, and I would take that and say, okay, I'll let me insert a different word. I think grace is contagious also.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kindness
contagious.
Is contagious. And also,
attitude.
Yeah, and negative things are also contagious,
yep.
Right?
No,
so.
No.
When you do that,
attitude is one of the most contagious things you ever have.
There you go. That's a great way to summarize a bunch of those. Attitude is contagious.
If you've got a negative attitude, I'll go ahead and let you know. Especially, I've seen it in meetings where one person sours the whole thing, and it's like, wait a second. Man, this group was headed in the right direction. One person sours it, and everybody sours. So, yeah, attitude is very contagious, but so much is, if you stop and think about it.
I think
faith is, in a way.
You know, and you can take this... We could take it probably as small as if I come in here today and I'm just in a crummy mood,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it would
be understandable.
Yeah.
And you've been through a whole lot.
Well, I'm not even saying today. I mean, yeah. Any day. I
but
come in on a day and I'm just in a, man, I don't want to do this. And you woke up, man, you've had a great day.
Yeah, we're ready to roll.
Well, then when we sit down and hit record, it's going to be a battle basically to see which one of us is going to make the other one, you know, change gears. Because if I'm grumpy enough, then you'll get grumpy by the end of it, and I'll ruin the rest of your day. If you're kind, you know, if you're friendly enough, you might cheer me back up. Take that, and now you can multiply that times 10 people in the room of a dying grandmother. You can take that and, 50 people in a church for someone who's deceased, or 300 million people in a country. And the more, both are true.
Mm-hmm.
So which way do you want to see it go? Do you want to be the one who's growling and grumbling about everything that's bad, or do you want to be the one that's trying to find a way to make something, again, not with your words necessarily, unless you have to, but what are some things that you can do to show kindness so that maybe they become a little bit, you know, more? And I'll tell you what, if you want to look for some opportunities to help people, go spend a couple of days in a hospice house.
Oh, good gracious,
because
yes.
That was the one thing that I realized about it, maybe a few hours into it, I realized walking down the halls, you know, this is the one place I've ever been in that I don't really have to say, how you doing?
Mm.
I know how you doing.
Yeah.
You're not doing good, you know? Even at a hospital, there might be some people there for decent reasons. There's some good reasons to be.
You're right.
You know,
hospice, man, when I walk down the hall, I'm just, you know, and if I'm in there with a family and I've seen the same people over and over again, I may ask, how is he? And we know it's
sure.
Getting close, but... And you're there, and it's nice sometimes to have strangers that, hey, they're there for you too, because you're going through probably one of the hardest times. And again, that's God providing comfort from sometimes some of the strangest people or the strangers,
yeah.
Not strangest,
yeah.
Strangers. There's a point that you just made, and I think you're right. I think it's Paul writes that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Well, we're not bakers, and I'm not sure what that means. But what he's talking about there is when you've got bread, it only takes a little bit, just a handful, and not even a handful, just a sprinkle of yeast, and it'll make the whole thing. Or a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and just a little bit of it. I think there's times that it can influence it for the good, it can influence it for the bad. But I think it's it's imperative to us as God's children. To walk is Psalm 40, verse 3, as I say all the time, with that new song in our heart, so that many will see, many will fear, and many will trust. And so, yeah, we think about how just a little bit of leaven, whether you go in there with a little bit of leaven of good attitude or a little bit of leaven of bad attitude, you can impact things in such a positive or a negative way.
And if you're walking down, and again, I can use this as a as very vivid imagery because I just was doing it, but you can come across somebody in the common area or the kitchen or the family area, and you can take the attitude of, I'm not going to talk to them. I don't have time to be kind to them because I'm grieving, and it takes my energy to take care of myself and all this kind of stuff. And nobody can necessarily say you're wrong for doing that necessarily. I mean, you're doing what you have to do to get through a situation. But at the same time, you can also look at that and say, why in the world would I, they're going through the exact same pain that I'm going through right now. Why in the world would I be unkind to that person when they're suffering the same thing I'm suffering?
You know, just even if it's something as simple as, if it's a nephew or niece or something, just pick on them just a little bit or, just say something and be kind. I mean, if nothing else, a smile. I've always told people, smile goes a long way, man.
Well, and I'm not even necessarily talking about the did you speak to them or not kind of thing, but maybe a better way of giving that example is I'm not in a good mood and I'm in the kitchen area waiting for them and they try to say something kind to me and I just kind of scoff back and it's like you just growling it that crummy attitude I was kind of talking about a minute ago. You can have that attitude and you're going to make them who's having a bad day just make it that much worse. Or you can be kind and give them a little smile and try to do something to make their day slightly better. It's still going to be a bad day, but it'll be a little better. Do you want to make their bad day better, or do you want to make their bad day worse?
Or worse. It may ruin their day, but it also may, I mean, if you stop and think about it, I mean, this is the thing that shakes me in my boots sometimes is we're talking about all of eternity. Mm-hmm. And, if that's the way you, Mr. Song in your heart, new song in your heart, Mr. You've been changed from the inside out, Mr. You're a new creation in Christ, yeah, you're acting like a jerk. I'm done. I don't want nothing to do with that. And so, we've got to think about, we represent Christ even in our grief. And again, we hurt. Sometimes that we just need to be alone. There's nothing wrong with that. But remember, man, we are an ambassador for Christ, which means 24/7 we are His. We are His representatives on this earth.
Let me clean up two mess ups while we're here. First of all, I think this person knows who I'm talking to, and they listen. I snapped over the weekend at somebody and was a little unkind. I'm sorry for snapping. I shouldn't have done that. I'll give you another one, though. When I got back last night, we had the basketball game. We won.
Hey!
Got us a win.
Hey, you shooting better?
We did shoot a little better, but they had to shorten the game a little bit. It was only 8-minute quarters instead of 10, so it was a lower scoring game for that reason. But
still, 10-minute quarters, that's a long game.
That's a long way. It was running clock, though.
Running clock. Yeah. That makes a difference.
So, played a little better. At the end of the game, though, I straight up yelled at a kid in the huddle and told him to shut up loud enough that the whole gym heard me. In fairness, the kid laughed at it. His parents were cool with it. I didn't mean to. They understood. But we had a 3-point lead with about 17 seconds left, and I called a timeout. And I said, okay, guys, this is what I need you to do. And then he proceeds to tell me what.
He's going to tell you.
You want us to do this, right? And I said, shut up.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I need to talk. I need you to be. And as soon as I said it, I said, I know. I just did not just sit here in this YMCA and shout, shut up to a kid. So I apologized to him, apologized to the parents, apologized many times over. And they all said, hey, you did the right thing. Yeah. You should have done it.
You called time out. They need to keep your mouth closed.
So sorry for telling me. So sorry, Eli, if you guys listen, sorry for telling you to shut up. I didn't mean that. And to the other person, I'm sorry I yelled at you the other morning. I didn't mean to. I was grumpy and cranky and sleepy, and I shouldn't have yelled. I'm sorry.
And all the other stuff. I was going to tell you this. I got so tickled at something that Renee and I were just talking the other day, and we were just talking about how how can people do something that is totally against who they are, I was saying, well, it can happen to anybody. And then all of a sudden she said, well, I saw you in Pee Wee football do some things I never thought I'd see you do. And I just stopped and I said, whoa, what are you talking about? And she said, I saw you fling a clipboard across the football field. And I didn't do it across the football field. I threw it down. She said, I saw you get in the face of a referee. And I said, I wasn't in his face. I was just letting him know you missed a call. And then she said, I saw you get on them boys at halftime one time when they knew they should have been winning. And I said, doggone. I said, well, I appreciate you watching me. Mm-hmm. Why don't you watch somebody else? And she said, well, I was trying to help you to see when you coach, when you do these things. You know, again, it goes back to, that's why I mentioned the ambassador. We're ambassadors, mm-hmm. and we need to make sure that, okay, and I do get excited when I coach, or I might just, you know, well, I called this play and you ran this one and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your own son can really push a button. That was the thing that got me more than anything else, is my own son would, coaching him was an adventure, to where I was like, I think I'll go coach the other team. I'd be a better coach if I didn't have, you know, didn't have the kids I know and love.
My son, so look, we had two games, actually. So we played Saturday, and then we played again Monday. So we don't usually have back-to-back, but we had two games since we've last talked. Saturday, Gabe, this is just a funny story. I think I know how I feel about it now, but at the time, Gabe got nauseous during the game, and he kind of took himself out. He's like, I'm not feeling good. So that doesn't happen often, so I had him sit out, and I said, well, just let me know if you feel better. And I kept checking, do you feel better, whatever. Well, he had got off to a pretty good start. He'd scored 3 points, I think, in the first quarter, and was, you know, he was having a good game. Didn't bug him about it, and about 5 minutes to go in the game, he said to me, he said, I'm going to go back in. It's only 5 minutes. I can play now. And I said, okay, if you're good, go. I took that to mean he wasn't sick anymore, because I had asked him a few times, are you feeling better? And he's like, a little bit. Well, afterwards, I asked him if he was feeling better, and he said, yeah, I'm better now. And I said, so you didn't get sick anymore after the game? He said, well, I was sick at the end of the game. I said, well, then why'd you go back in? He said, well, because we were losing and I was playing good and we needed more good players. And I said,
this team needs me.
I said, so you lied to me. You told me you were better. And he said, well, I didn't lie. I just said I was ready to go back
in. I can make it, coach.
And I thought, I said, I'm not sure if I'm mad at you for going back in and not telling me you weren't 100%, or if I'm proud of you for recognizing that you needed to. In hindsight, I'm proud that he recognized it. Yeah, I go ladder.
I go ladder more than the former.
Because he didn't lie to me. He didn't tell, to be fair, he did not tell me I'm good.
I was good.
He never said he was good. He just said I'm good.
I just said I can make it.
I really think he was trying to – I get where he was going with it, and shout out to you, G. I appreciate the – I like the guts that took to get out there and tough it out. And well, I believe we're good now. I think I better get back. So appreciate you, man.
Man, let's pray for your family.
Absolutely. I appreciate
Father,
that.
Father, I do thank you so much, Lord, for the fact that, Lord, because of Jesus Christ down on the cross, death is not the end. And Lord, we know that, Lord, it's, as I said earlier, it's not a period, it's a comma. And Lord, it's not a door, it's a gate. And so, Lord, it's a gate to eternal life. So, Lord, I'm thankful for Garrett's grandma, Lord, that she is with you. I am thankful that she is completely healed. No more Alzheimer's, no more struggling to remember, no more struggling to breathe. No, she is 100% healed in the presence of Christ. So, Lord, I just rejoice in that. But, Lord, I pray for the family. Just put your comforting hand upon them. Thank you that you're the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. So, Lord, comfort this family, Lord, in their time of need. And, Lord, we know the way you comfort us is with brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes it may be a word. Sometimes it may be someone that just comes and puts their arm around them, or more or less, it may just be you speaking to them. So, Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would comfort that precious family. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Man, I love it.
Appreciate you, brother.
Take care, man.
Thank you,
yes, sir.